looking at redemption, why did God do what he did? Why is that? Like, we're looking at the beginning of, if God planned to send Christ before the foundation of the world, then why did God do what he did? Why did God create what he created? Why did he do it? And most Christians will live and die and never ask God a thing about anything. We need to understand this. God, no matter what he wants you to know, he will not tell you till you ask. The scriptures are clear. It says, ask and you shall receive. It doesn't say just because you need to know something, he'll tell you. Most Christians have this idea that they even sit down and you read the Bible and people won't understand things about it, but they will never ask God about it. Never one time will ever pray. Most people, the majority of prayer life is people asking for a physical need. That's what they're asking for. Most of the time, and that is such a small part of hooking up with God, and yet that's why most Christians never do much development or growth spiritually, and they won't, because their prayer life is based on asking stuff for things, and it's not for what they really need to know and understand. We need to understand the Word of God is eternal. It's about eternity. It's not about temporal, just in this plane where we live right now. It's eternal. It has to do with eternity. We need to understand we're in a kingdom which is an eternal kingdom. And this kingdom runs off of rules and different things that are different than man's rules. Most Christians have a tie between the earthly rules and God's rules, and they make Christianity out of that. Christianity is made out of natural rules of our own thinking, of our own ideas, and they're mixed together with God's plans and God's purposes. I mean, just think about this. The Lord kept dealing with me about this today, talking about if God knows everything from beginning to the end, I don't know why, but I just thought about it when I was a young Christian. I talked about the things of when I first had the vision, first time I ever had a vision, and I was only born again a couple months. And I had this vision because I asked God a question because I got overthinking. If God knows everything, and you need to understand this, and you need to get thought in this area, because you'll never get revelation till you get thought. If you get thoughts and you say, well, let's ignore that, we don't need to know, and we just push things back, you're never going to develop and learn, because we need to understand how God thinks, not how we think. How God thinks. And when I asked him, I said, God, if you know everything, then you created man. When you did create man, you knew everybody who wasn't going to accept you and everybody who was. You know who all was going to be in your kingdom and who was going to be in the lake of fire. You knew all that going into this thing. Because if he didn't, he's not God. He's not all-knowing. Yet he did it anyway. And when the Lord gave me a vision, I said, why on earth did you create man? I didn't know. And that's when I had the vision, and the Lord said to me, he said, man is the key to put sin away forever. And what we don't, you understand this. I don't care what God is able to do. And people say God can do anything. God, you need to come down to and understand this. God never moves outside of the laws of his kingdom. Never. He will never do anything for you outside of the laws of the kingdom. Never. He can't do that, because then he would be unjust. He would be unrighteous. He can't be unjust. He can't be unrighteous. You know, it's just like, you know, today you go before judges. Judges make up their own laws today. And God would never do that. God won't make a special rule up for you because you don't hook up into things. He won't do that. God has to have legal right to do whatever he does. That's what makes him just. God is never fair. Fair is a term made up by man to do for people what is outside rules and regulations. God's not interested in fair. God is just. God is righteous. And he is holy. God is not operate in the area of what you think is fair. He always operates within the guidelines of his laws and rules of his kingdom. He stays in line with those at all times. He operates. And we need to understand this. God wanted to deal with Satan. When we look at the kingdom of God, its operation, one of the things that things that we don't understand, that God in the creation of our earth, you know, the Bible tells us in creation, when God created, we get this idea, and people get an idea of perfection. But you know, our creation was not perfection. God said it was good. He never said it was perfect. Never said it was perfect. That's religion's own ideas. That's our Christianity. It's not God's. God didn't create the earth perfect. If Adam was created perfect, then Adam could not have sinned. Adam was not perfect. And we need to get over it. Our creation was not perfect. It failed, didn't it? See, when we think of heaven, even in heaven, we think about perfection. There is a perfection about heaven. But people who die and go to heaven are not perfect in every way. People aren't perfect in their thinking. When people go to heaven, you're thinking like you did when you died here on the earth with your imperfect thinking. And you arrive in heaven. Heaven is a perfect place and it operates perfectly off its principles of God established for the kingdom. But the people there are not perfect. People who have gotten, I've heard numbers of people, like Brother Hagin talked about different times he was caught up to heaven, how he got, he wasn't thinking like God thought about things. He was, you know, he'd question Jesus about stuff because his mind, he was thinking like he thought here in this earth. And we need to get a hold of thought is to realize that many times what you and I do is where we have a problem in getting revelation from God, because we respond to God on the basis of our imperfection, and we operate with our ideas of how things work. And it's not God's. You need to learn this as a fact of, if you don't ask God questions, you will not get answers. And I don't care how badly you need it. You won't get it. And people need to get a hold of that. Christians sit around and they want to know things. And they have this crazy idea that, well, if I just, you know, God will just show me. No, He won't. You can read the Word night and day. I talk to God all the time about what I read. When I sit down and read, I ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me things. I need to know stuff. People don't. They just read their Bible. They go to pray and they just pray, what they call praying. And this is why people don't develop and grow, because there's principles of the kingdom. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. And so what do? We don't ask. We don't ask. We just sit around and go through our nice little religious motions and go through all of our stuff and go through this and sit around. We should be much further ahead than we are. Much further ahead. We have been very slow in development. When I came into the kingdom, I don't know, I just, but maybe from the time that I was a kid, it's like my mom said to me, she said, when you were just little, she said, you were different than the rest of the other kids. There was 9 of us, so I was down the bottom. There was 8 older than me. She said, when you talked about Jesus, you talked about as if you really knew Him. It's one of the things that it is, and it's even from the time that I got born again, I've always talked to God just like I talk to anybody else. When I go to pray, if I want to know something, I talk to God about it. This is what I want to know. And I'll ask God questions. I talk because I appear. You know, people don't question a darn thing. I mean, they don't. I mean, all these knuckleheads write books and stuff on God gave them this diet and blah, blah, write these books. And I wanted to know about it. I said, God, what are you giving people that? Because this guy said you gave them this diet and this, and they write them and people are supposed to. I said, God, what do you have? And the Lord spoke to me clear and said, heaven doesn't have any diets. He said it just has moderation in all things. So I knew God never gave those things. Most people, what they do, and this is what they do out of it, they're tied to this world who's full of diets, and they get over the kingdom of God, and they know they're supposed to do things to bring their flesh under, so they come up with their thing about a diet and this and that, and they say, well, God gave it to me, and God never gave it to them. They're doing exactly what the world does. You know, God wants you to, it's just like in the areas of moderation. God wants you to operate in the areas of moderation. He doesn't want the laws of don't touch, don't taste, don't. He doesn't want that. There's not spirituality in that. There is no you taking control of yourself. You just set laws and rules. I can't cross this line, you know. You know, you get these knuckleheads, you go, well, you know, don't eat anything sugar. How stupid can you get with that, you know? You know, I never eat desserts. Well, that shows you're an idiot, so get over it. You know, if you don't want to eat dessert, it's fine, but don't make it as something that's real. You're just a wonderful person because you don't eat dessert. What it's saying is you can't have any control over yourself, and if you go over in that area, you won't control yourself. God would rather have you control yourself instead of setting up a bunch of legal laws and rules to try to dictate a life. This is what people do. And see, God doesn't operate that way. God's not this. When God, you know, operates with people and things, we've made up a Christianity that isn't true. It isn't right. It's not just. You know, we make up to the things that satisfy us instead of what satisfies God. What satisfies Him? And when we're looking at this concerning in the things of creation, understand this. We're dealing with a God that is the creation that we know, the part of it that we know, has been done by God for what purpose? What is His purpose? What's His purpose in it? See, people don't even know. Man was created for a specific purpose. Here's what people say because they have no clue what God's doing. God wanted a family. God, grief! Lonely God. Poor, stupid God's lonely. He's just, you know, dear Lord, He's got billions of angels and He's lonely. What has He been doing for the last trillion years? Has he been on antidepressants or what? But see, what we do is we carry over the thinking of our culture. That's cultural thinking. That's not heavenly thinking. That's cultural thinking. God's done what He's done and set the system in because God is working toward a perfection system. See, we see God is perfect, but in His creation, like I said before, and I said, God never created any other being perfect. Now, He said about Lucifer, He made the statement He was perfect in all His ways till iniquity was found in Him. In other words, God created, His perfection was He was made everything right, but He still had choice. So in other words, choice comes down to the thing of in God's kingdom, and you need to understand about this. God had a system and He set it in motion in His system. Our God thinks differently than humanity thinks. If most of you were given right now and you could be God, the last thing you would ever do is want to create something that could cause a problem. You wouldn't do it because of your fears. Oh, a good being good means you would make anything that nothing could ever mess up. That's the way you'd make it. God's not like that. God doesn't think in that manner. God doesn't think in that way. God's not afraid if something goes wrong. He's not afraid of it. He's God. He's all-powerful. He's not worried. He doesn't worry about those things. And see, we got to get over and think about why would God have this planet that there was beings on it? That somehow, from what we can understand, something definitely terrible happened and it was judged. And we're going to look at this as we go around. A judgment was on this planet. Yet this exact same planet, He put our creation on it, knowing the devil was here. Knowing when He created it, the beings that He would create in His likeness and image would turn around and yield to Satan, and Satan would take their authority. He knew in doing so, these beings, the large amount of these beings, would end up in eternal fire. Yet He did it anyway. You see, to our society, this is what we think, and here's Christianity. That's not fair. Why would He do such a thing? Because He's smarter than you are. And you're thinking, just like a natural human being would, based on your culture. And God is not part of our culture. God doesn't operate that way. God has a system. God has a plan for the future of perfection. And He must deal with it legally. He created Lucifer. Just like with man. When God created man, He gave man dominion over all the works of His hand. He never took it back. When Adam sinned, He didn't take it back. God never took it back. God doesn't. God gave something, he gave it to him, and it was his. Can you imagine God handing that authority away, knowing full well, this guy's going to sell me out? God didn't start off and say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do, Adam. I'm going to rule through you. He didn't say that at all. He said, no, I'm going to make you the ruler. You know, the New Testament says Satan's the god of this world. How did he get to be the god of this world? When God gave Adam dominion, God made Adam the ruler of this world. He was the god of this world. He wasn't the god of gods, but he was the god of this world. And Satan became the god of this world. When Satan came along and tempted Jesus, he said, you see all these nations on the earth? They were all mine. They were given to me. And if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. People said, well, he couldn't have done that. Yes, he could have done that. He was given that by Adam. He was given that rule by Adam. God had given that knowing that Adam would give it away. See, when I was in Bible school, we had Mel Piper's instructors. One of the things that really stuck with me that he said, you know, no matter what you read in Scripture and you find in Scripture, he said, always understand this, you always stick with God. God's always right. You're not. If you read something and you think God did something, I've had people say to me, well, that wasn't fair. God shouldn't have done that. That's not right. Don't ever do that. God's always right. Number one, if God is wrong, then he is not righteous, so you aren't either. You have his righteousness, remember that. And if his righteousness is no good, yours is no good, you're lost for eternity. God's always right. It does never matters whether I understand it or not. God is always right. He never has ever done one unjust thing. He's never ever done one anything that's unrighteous. He is always holy. That's God. He's always right. Always. And that's the foundation and basis of our faith. You have no basis. If God's unfair, you have no basis of faith in his word. It might not be right. And see, we need to get over it. If you start thinking in this line, you're going to have questions to God because you're going to find out there's things that just don't match up with our cultures and how our culture does in Christianity. Most Christians have a lot of their culture in their Christianity. Their cultures are in it. Anytime I go to any nation I've ever went to, I always find out that the Christians have their culture in their Christianity. And it always limits them. The more of your culture that's in your Christianity, the more you're limited in your spiritual growth. Because what you do is you set the boundaries of your culture to the rules of the kingdom, of how things work. You'll do that. See, that's one thing that's happened to the Jews. The Jews added all these rules and laws onto the law of Moses, and they set their own culture around that. When God shows up, they don't recognize him because they keep measuring everything against the culture they built. See, we're limited in these last days. People need to throw out their culture. We have our Christian cultures within our Christian groups. No matter what the Bible says, we have our thinking of how things ought to be done. And we have them and we do them, line them up, and instead of stopping and saying, you know, God, I don't think we know on earth what we're doing. Could you please explain a few things to us? No, we just love our cultures. That's where for some reason, our comforts are within those things. And we just love staying within the boundaries of those things. They become things that we just love. And what happens, it limits us. Because you need to come to the place where you stop and see things and you start measuring things against the Word of God, against your culture and the way you think. God's always just, is righteous. Why did God turn around on a planet where he had cast Satan down through and all a third of the falling angels thrown down to this planet? And right in the middle of the thing, made the creation of man. See, it's like I said, we understand creation, and we understand it from man's side and look at redemption that God provided after man's sin. But that's not the whole thing of why it was set. If God wanted to redeem man and he could just redeem man, why did he do what he did? Why didn't God make a new planet? The reason he didn't. He went right into the midst of Satan's kingdom and made a man and set up a thing that he could legally put sin away forever. God must do it legally. He can't. God sets up rules of how things run. He never breaks them. He doesn't usurp authority. He's given authority away. God can't say, God's not, you know, someone who gives something and then takes it back. It's not like most people. It's the way people are, you know. People give somebody something, and if they don't do what they want with it, they want it back. God never does that. The Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God gives a person a call. He don't care if they don't ever use it. That's up to them. But he don't take it back because the person don't use it or walk right with it. He doesn't do that. If I don't do something with the gift of God in me, it's still there. You know, I can go be like the guy that buried his, you know, talent. You can go there and bury it and do whatever you want with it. But you're going to be called one day on that thing. God ain't going to, he don't take it back. It's not the way it is. It's not the way it operates or the way it works. And we need to understand that in Christianity, we have this idea of, well, you know, God would never allow you to misuse anything. I mean, look around your world, get over it. Christianity has so misused and abused so much of God's stuff, it's phenomenal. And he hasn't killed us all, has he? So, you know, and we need to come in within the guidelines of these things and realize how limited we think. We need to get to know our God. It's one thing is God is God. You know, He's been speaking to me today about the fact of He wants His people to actually know Him and know how He thinks. Why has He done what He's done? Why has He done it? See, we see it from this little side of this thing of redemption for us. Why did He set all this in motion to begin with? What was it for? What's this whole thing about? And it's an end result, and that's one of the things that he, when he had me teach on this, and you know, when he said about it, and I made the title, is the ends up is we're dealing with perfection, is what we're, and this is what we're shooting at, and what God is shooting at. It's about perfection, to bringing everything to the place where sin is put away forever, where there is going to be a kingdom of perfection. And that perfection of that kingdom will dominate and rule forever, and sin will never again enter in. That was God's whole plan. I mean, if you just think about God, I mean, I don't, you know, we talk about the foundation of the world, but yet we look before the foundation of the world. When did it happen when He decided He was going to send Jesus? How many, if we would put it in years, would it have been trillions and trillions and trillions of years out in advance? When was it? When did He have the idea of this thing? If He always knows everything, see, it's hard to think around. This is why the church world don't like to go over and look into these things, because it brings question to them about their God. And they don't like to think about that. They don't want to, you know, let's just have our little corner over here we call Christianity, and let's play in this little playpen we got. Let's just stay in that thing, okay? Because that's within the bounds of my brain. And I don't want to go beyond that. I don't want to expand beyond that. I feel comfortable there. So let's just build a Christianity around that. And when we should be stopping and saying, you know, this eternal God, what He knows and why He does things, why does He do it? See, that was one of the things that often it really grabbed me when I started reading, when I read the book of, what's his name, I went to South Africa, John G. Lake. John G. Lake, when John G. Lake said the thing, I forget when the first time I read it, he said, I don't want to know that God heals, I want to know how He does it. I want to know how He does it. Most Christians, they can't even get how God heals, much less how He does it. They never even arrive at that spot. We stay in this little land, this little place, and we never come out of the place. How does God do it? Well, to how God does it, we're going to start having to get over into understanding this eternal God, this one, how He views stuff and how He sees it. You know, John G. Lake had probably one of the most phenomenal, well, he did, one of the most phenomenal healing ministries that ever took place. He would literally have doctors come and watch him perform things, put under what at that time were these x-ray machines, where today they wouldn't put people under because you get so much radiation, would put them under, and he would lay hands on people and they would watch bones completely healed, joined back together and completely be healed. All kind doctors would sit and watch him do it. They'd get a group of doctors sitting around and watch him. He'd be telling them, watch him. They'd say, you know, there's this unseen force would start to work and would start to and would mend the bone, and the bone would come back together and be completely healed right before their eyes. He would do stuff like that. And see, he understood healing on a level that other people didn't, because he understood this God. He understood there was things about God and pushing into things of God outside of culture. See, this is one of the things of Jesus. Jesus had a hard time with his people because his ministry wasn't in the guidelines of Jewish culture. They don't like that. You're never going to have much of a ministry staying within the guidelines of a culture. You're going to be limited. You need to understand that. You're going to limit to the culture, because your beliefs are going to stay. You're going to have to stay in it. Trying to keep people happy, trying to keep that, forget it. Jesus came along and did all those miracles and he didn't like it. Why? He didn't stay in line with their culture. He didn't follow our rules. You know, so what? Oh yeah, we want God, and we want God down in the temple there, and you know, like, yeah, let's keep him penned up down there. We don't want to let him get out of that sucker. You know, we want to keep God inside of something. You know, we don't want him to get out there and get too far loose. And so we need to come around to these things and to gain this understanding. Now, we read the last time, I read from Job, and we read from Job 38 when God started talking to Job. And I don't know what about you, but I think, you know, to me, when I read this, it's like, say, God, this is me and Job talking here. Now, Job, you're answering to something that I need answered to me, because when God speaks to Job in 38, in verse 1, he says, "Then God answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?'" Say, have you ever been there? Well, if you haven't ever been there, you'll probably never been anywhere. It just says, "Now prepare yourself like a man. I'll question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding." You know, we talk about creation and we say, God, you know, he created these things. It is interesting, I think, of all the years that men have read this, and yet people turn around and don't get the God, you know, the whole principle of faith is laid out in the creation of God speaking and saying things. Yet men still struggle terribly about faith, and they talk about having faith in God when they don't even understand how God works at all. They don't understand him at all. These are words in the book. We have a great God, but, you know, that's as far as it goes. But he asked him, "Where were you?" He said, "Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." And that's where we had read to. But I want you to understand this. Have you ever asked God about the foundations of the world? See, I did, and he answered me. When I asked him why he created man and did what he did, he showed me. See, most people will never ask. They will sit down and look at these things. See, when Job was talking about God, if Job would have been asking God about what he does and what he did, when you don't ask questions about things, you don't get revelation about things. It doesn't just come because God has knowledge and he wants you to have them. Think about this. I mean, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was almost lost into the church world. And in back in the 1900, outpouring of the Holy Spirit started and brought back the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the church. And it wasn't until men started seeking God. Pyram and them went and got a group together, and they said their whole purpose was is to find out whether the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues was for the church or it wasn't. And that's what they just set themselves to seek God to find out. And you know what? God didn't pour out the Spirit till somebody did that. See, Christians will sit and listen to teaching on healing, but they will never talk to God personally about understanding healing. God explained some things to me. They're just waiting for the next meeting to go to church to try to get somebody else to tell them. Somebody else, seek God, and you go find it out, minister, and then come and tell me. They don't spend no time trying to find out. Most of what I teach and I know, lots of it I haven't been taught by people. I went and asked God questions. I wanted to know. Teaching on the subject I'm teaching on, I never heard anybody ever teach on. I never heard anybody ever talk about it. I've never read a book on it. I don't know. There could be ones. I don't know. I haven't run into one yet. I don't know. But yet I know from a standpoint, God's given me lots of things in Scripture about these things and about this stuff. And it's so for us to understand and to comprehend, because we're talking back into God on God's purposes and God's plans. And the Lord spoke to me clearly about it. He said, in these last days, there's things about me. I need my people to understand and know why I do what I do. Not that I do what I do, why I do it. See, most Christians are going along and say, well, God just does it. Well, why does He do it? Oh, no. Why? See, we talk about knowing God. Well, it's just like a person, you know, people that do things like, you know, like I can sit down and read a book about George Washington and what he did, but I never may know why he did it. See, God's a living being. We can turn around and talk and He can explain to us why He does what He does. And this is where, from a standpoint of personally, I want to know God outside of my culture. I want to know Him in His culture. I want to hook up with His culture. Heaven has a culture. And the church don't live it much. We mostly live. That's why faith has such a problem. Because we're trying to tie it to our culture. And it's a spiritual experience. And its principles are the kingdom of God. They're not of the kingdoms of this earth. And they're not normal to the American culture for sure. So, if you want to understand them, you're going to have to understand these things in the light of what the Word of God says and asking God. Now, Job made the statement, we talked the last time we talked, says, when the morning stars sang together, he said, all the sons of God shouted for joy. He's talking about the foundation of the world when he did it. In other words, Satan hadn't fallen at this time. All the sons of God were speaking to the angels at that time. All of them were shouting for joy. In other words, the foundation of the earth, that what he's talking about here that he said to Job was before the foundation of the earth. In other words, it hadn't taken place yet, the foundation. And the angels, in other words, it hadn't gone to the point of where the fall of Satan had taken place at this time. But we want to look at some things here because, and I've taught on this part before, and we want to look at in the Genesis, the first chapter in verse 2, because of what was said here. And we're going to go over these things again because this is so important, because we're going to look at something that's going on here that deals with judgment. Because we had in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. And in verse 2 says this, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. And out of that scripture, 99 chances, there's a number of important statements here, but 99 stands out of 100. The first thing that the church looks at, oh, the Holy Spirit was working, moving over the water. I'll tell you what, that was the biggie. It wasn't the biggie, it was what he said in the beginning. He said the earth was without form and void. You know, it's interesting, he said the earth was without form and void. The word was. Years ago, I was doing some studying along this line because God had been talking about some things, and the Lord spoke to me and said, go look up in the Hebrew what that word was is used. And I found out that that Hebrew word was, 67 times it's translated became. And the Lord spoke to me and said to me, this is what the earth became. And we want to find out why. In other words, the earth became something because it was without form and void. And it says, and darkness was on the face of the deep. First of all, the word without form is a Hebrew word, which is the word tohu. And the word void is a Hebrew word called bohu. So, but tohu, this is what it means. It was is an unused root that means to lie waste. It's called desolation. A desert is figuratively, it's a worthless thing. It's in vain, confusion, empty, place, without form, nothing. Naught, vain, vanity, waste, wilderness. Now just think of that. We don't have, from a scriptural standpoint, where God made the actual rock and the water on the thing. We don't have it. Everything we know from our creation, God said it was good. Did He say this was good? I don't know how the church bypasses this stuff up. But we've been taught in our Christian culture about creation. And so we ignore things that the Scripture says. We ignore it. How did the earth become like this? How did the earth come in this? Did God create it that way? We'll look at some other things. The word here, bohu, it means this. It means an undistinguishable ruin, emptiness, void. So the earth was what? The earth, he said, the earth was or became. Now listen to this. It became this vain, empty place without form, nothing, void, vanity, waste, wilderness. Then he says, and void, in other words, an undistinguishable ruin, emptiness, void. Now we want to go on and look at this. Another thing it said in this verse, and as we go on to look, because we're going to look at more at this. But see, when we deal with the area of darkness, what we think in from the standpoint, this term here used darkness, see, we think of no light, physical light. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about physical light. Now, we need this is said here because this term used here at darkness, this term is also is darkness, but it's used as misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, darkness, night, obscurity. See, it's not talking about just, you know, no physical light. This is what people in their minds get thinking about, you know, because, see, we just read words and we don't stop and think about things. How did it get like this? In other words, we're talking about the creation of our earth, and yet we see from this standpoint, the way things are here. Now, in this thing, as we're going to look on to here, because we're going to find out in the use of this words, these are terms that are used in the Hebrew dealing with judgment. That anything that ends up like this is because of judgment. We'll find out its uses as we deal with it. So here we have this thing. We got this ball, this stone, whatever it is, a rock, it's covered with water, sitting out here in this space, and it's destroyed. I mean, it's just in ruin. It's already existed. God didn't create it that day. It's become that. Well, we're going to find out what the Scripture says about God in creation, about God creating things. Isaiah 24:1. We're going to start there at Isaiah 24:1. We're going to find these terms here are used. In Isaiah 24:1, it says, "Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface, and scatters abroad its inhabitants." Now, the word "makes it waste" is that word tohu, and bohu is distorts its surface. In other words, it's talking about the judgment of God when God judges something. So we look at creation. We look back at creation, and the speaking about the planet that the Holy Spirit was moving over was a place where judgment had taken place. Now, in Isaiah 34:11, again, in Isaiah uses these terms, and you can find out because of their, they weren't really translated correctly. It says, "But the pelican and the porcupine shall possess it. It says, also the owl and the raven shall dwell in it. It says, and it shall stretch out over it the line of confusion." Actually, that's the word tohu. Not the line of confusion. That's not what was said. Remember what that word, worthless, what is it? It says in her emptiness, place without form, nothing, vanity, wilderness. And then he says, the stones of emptiness, that's the word bohu, which means an undistinguishable ruin. See, if you take this and read these in their context, it's talking about God bringing judgment. We want to look now at Jeremiah. I want you to look at Jeremiah. This is very interesting because Jeremiah, in this prophecy, Jeremiah sees what happens to the earth before our creation. We're going to find out there's something that Jeremiah made statement about. We want to look at here. In Jeremiah 4, I'm going to do a sort of an introduction here, read part of the things, and I'm going to start at verse 19. Because I want you to see this. He says, verse 19 of Jeremiah 4, he says, "O my soul, I am pained and very in my very heart, said, my heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is plummeted. Suddenly my tents are plundered and my curtains in a moment. How long will I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? My people are foolish. They have not known me. They are silly children and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Now he's going to say something that he saw, and he goes on to say this: I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. See, he's not speaking about this. Is that he's speaking exactly the words from Genesis 2. He saw something. He goes on to say, I beheld the mountains, indeed they trembled, and all the hills moved back and forth. I beheld, and indeed there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness, and all of its cities were broken down in the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger. See, we don't, you know, we talk about, we need to understand the creation. We're not given a lot of information about that whatever took place beforehand. All we know is something no good happened in it, and we know that Lucifer was tied to it, and a third of the angels fell with him. We understand that took place on this earth. We need to, you know, it doesn't surprise me that they find skulls and things of different kinds of what they call humans, Neanderthal men, or whatever they are. There were some kind of things, but they are not men like our creation. We need to understand that. There has never been anyone like the creation of man in the creation that we know. There's never been anything. Nothing has been like it. We're created in the likeness and image of God. Now, those beings and who they were and what they were, you know, they find things about them and that stuff, and they say, well, my words, you know, they had places where they lived and did things. And so when we talk about, when this refers to cities and different things, they had, just like with Satan, God's kingdom. God's kingdom has certain areas of rules and different ones, rulers and different ones within that have authority and all that kind of stuff operate in that manner. And they would have sure had that in the earth. One of the things is to understand whatever took place on our earth, whatever happened here, it became perverted, took place. Whether these beings started out that way, it's just, let me say this. If you saw Lucifer today, what he actually looks like, he looks nothing like he did when he stood before God. It's one of the things that, what's his name that wrote the Lord of the Rings? Anyhow, one of the things that he did in writing the Lord of the Rings was what he wanted to depict. His whole purpose in his writing was to depict good and evil. He was a Christian, and what he was in, he made these stories up, but these stories were about good and evil. And he had eternal beings, which they called the elves. The elves, we would look at them, they were eternal beings and that stuff. They lived forever. Then you had men, and you had, one of the things they had was orcs. And orcs were actually elves who were taken captive by this evil guy, Sauron, and anyhow, over time of torturing and everything, and he turned them into evil beings. And evil beings, the whole thing he was, they were evil, they never did any good. They were very much like, from a scriptural standpoint, the fallen angels. That's what they were. And but the whole thing of it is, in his book, like the elves were these really beautiful people and beautiful looking people, but you went over the orcs and they were really ugly. In other words, evil will turn things into evil. You know, we need to grab a hold of the idea. We got this in this thinking. There is a perversion that takes place. You even see among people. It starts in their personalities. You get people over following the devil. And it ain't good. Look in our society from the natural. The more people follow the devil, the more they do to look like the devil. My God, they start dressing, the things that they do. I mean, all this tattooing and stuff and people are doing today. And even the Christians love to look like the devil. They'll do the same thing the world does. Going and doing the same junk. Going over. You know? Making themselves look bad, doing whatever they can, think it's beautiful, think it's good. But there's a move toward it there, and we need to understand this move that it is toward things of evil. And, you know, people start ended up looking like what they practice and do. And dealing with these things, you know, we're in a world here. There was a fallen world, like, you know, I mean, if we would think about, they find like through the ages of things, so how long this, when this world was laid, the foundation originally was, and whatever it was on it, how much of time period went past that that thing, you know, had life on it, or whatever it was doing? There's one thing that science has come down to, and this is one thing science doesn't try to say it doesn't happen. There came to a place where life ended just like that. Everything stopped. Where life just stopped. Now they say, you know, that a meteor or something hit. Well, God could have thrown a meteor at it. But there's one thing we found out, that the earth ended up being covered completely with water. How that happened. How that took place. We don't know. Because they talk about, well, a meteor hit, and, you know, and it turned around and wiped out, did all this thing, and it's caused. We know this. There was other things that took place because the planet ended up completely covered by water. Completely covered by it. So whatever took place or happened, there was a lot of water. And we'll go on and look at some things of Scripture eventually about those things. But I want you to see that. So there was a destruction that took place on this earth. Whatever it was, whatever it did, and it ruled, and these beings that were on here, we know there was all kind of animals. I mean, from anything to, you know, it's just strange to me that, you know, Lucifer must have had some kind of authority or something to do, but things got perverted down here and got weird. I mean, we ended up with some really strange creatures running around. It would have sort of been difficult for the whatever beings they had that they call humans at that time, which weren't humans like we are, whatever they were, would have had a tough time living among some of them big things. You know, you know, a Tyrannosaurus Rex, I mean, you just don't walk out there and just kill him with a rock. You know, you definitely end up to be lunch. And, but whatever happened, I believe that just because of sin, I believe that things just got really perverted. And I believe things just turned out to be really perverted and got worse and worse and worse. And what happened, we know this from a standpoint, somewhere along the line, God brought judgment upon it and brought an end to that earth. But, now understand, Lucifer had an authority on this planet. Something, he had to have a tie to this that he ended up being cast down here. He had to have some kind of tie to whatever was going on down here was tied to him. Because this is where he was cast to, and this is where the judgment fell. This is it. Now, one of the most astounding things is to think about this, is if we look at the vastness of all the universe, of everything that's going on, and we got this little... When you talk about the size of the universe and all this, I mean, we're not even a good sized speck. I mean, we think about out here and that stuff where they can look and they're saying, we're like, you know, this star is 200 billion light years away. And what we're doing is we're seeing light that left a star 200 billion years ago, and it's come to our Earth. We're seeing those particles of light when they arrive here, who that they left 200 billion years ago. See, we turn on light, we think light's instant. Light is an instant. Travels 186,000 miles per second. But it's traveling. In other words, that star could be burnt out. We're seeing the light that was sent from it. That star may not even be there anymore. If you figure the vastness and the size of the universe, and here we set... All that God is dealing with in His creation. You think God, that people say God could do anything. Yeah, but He didn't. He decided to deal with everything about His kingdom and everything dealing with this little tiny ball sitting here that we're on. And this is the key to the entire kingdom of God. I mean, did you ever think about that? This is the key. Out of all this, we look at all of God's creation, and everything is tied right here. See, we live in this boat. We don't know, what was God thinking? What was He doing? If we don't think about these things, we never ask the questions. So we never get the answers. Yet the Word of God's alive and has a lot in it. It has a lot to be revealed to us. We don't see it because we never ask the questions to it. imagine, right here in this little space, we sit out here in the middle of this vastness of this universe and talk about out here, and they discover black holes that are millions of light years across. And here we sit in this little tiny thing. And that black hole out there, that really don't mean nothing. Because eternity is being dealt with on this little planet here. That God chose to take, and in which, you know, Lucifer never realized it. He didn't know. We found out he had no idea what was going to take place. He had no idea that his eternity was set based on this little planet he thought he was running. What's God doing? See, I want to know what God. I want to know what God thinks about this. What's God's fullness of His plan? I would hate to think that we're going to enter into eternity as dumb as we are. I can't see God wanting us to be in this condition. You know, this is why it's like to me is when we get to heaven, it is, you know, it's going to be a phenomenal thing. I want to go to class right away. There's things I want to know. I just, dear Lord, all kind of people want to do all kind of different things. They get to heaven. I want to know God. I want to know this being that always existed, that knows everything. He knows the past, the present, and the future. He knows it all just as if it's one. I just can't imagine, you know, is it? And so we look at man in this space of time within this God, and he's dealing with something here that's going to have an eternal effect that's going to eventually bring perfection. And man sits here in this place like, well, we just got Jesus died for us in his name. What is this all about? What has this God? I mean, he's phenomenal. What has he done that he set this in motion? How does he think that he put people here in this planet, knowing full well the things that were going to happen? Some stuff terrible, not good. He knew it. But yet to fulfill a plan, and remember, always remember, he's always just, he's always righteous, and he's holy. He's never wrong. He's never made a wrong decision. Every decision he makes is perfect. Yet when we look out of from our side, some of it looks surely imperfect. It's not imperfect. We look at it. It's like, why did he do that? You know, that's what I wondered when I was a young Christian. I was born again, only 2 months. I said, Lord, you knew all this stuff was going to happen. Why did you create man? See, I was thinking the standpoint. He set us up. What is this? What is this? Why did he do this thing? Knowing people were going to end up lost for eternity, he knew it. He didn't plan it that way. He didn't plan for anybody to be lost for eternity. But he gave people a choice, and knowing when he did it, people would make wrong choices. And yet he did it, knowing that people would not make the right choice. See, we have a God. When we talk about faith, and this is one thing, faith can't have fear in it. Or it can't be faith. This is why God makes decisions. Like we people, well, you know, God's doing everything perfect. Well, it's from a standpoint, he's his perfection, but we even need to understand him operating through us, it becomes imperfection. You know, I find it many times over the years, I found out how imperfectly he tried in his perfection to operate through me, but it came out imperfect. But it wasn't because he did anything wrong. It was working through an imperfect vessel. And you know what? He didn't get nervous about it at all. Now think about it. Yet his perfection didn't get worked out. But he knew it before it ever happened. Yet he worked through that. He just and this is why we have to. I believe there's a lot about God that we don't understand, because most of the time when people talk about God, they talk about him and being perfect and things like that. But yet people have no comprehension of what they're saying. We don't have, think about this, when you use the term perfection, what do you measure that against? That's like, to me, eternity. What do you measure that against? I only know time. I don't know eternity. I've never been born in eternity. I haven't. The only glimpses of eternity I ever have is what God gave me. And He gave them to me within the boundaries of time. So I really don't get eternity well. It's like forever, nonstop life, living, no time, no past, no present, no future. It's all one. No distance. I only know distance. We only know from here to there. We don't. When we operate in no distance in the realm of the Spirit, we do it by faith because we just believe what the Bible says about it. We do it. But when we try to take it to your mind and to your thought, the only thing you can think is distance, time. That's the only thing you can think of. So the Bible uses terminology that are outside if we have anything to measure it against. So you can't really bring a relevance to it in its meaning. You can't do that. Not to satisfy your mind, but you could satisfy your heart if you'll listen to your spirit. Because most people will ask questions from their minds and not from their hearts. They'll might do it on the basis of time. They'll start to talk to God on the basis of the knowledge of man. Look into your heart. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, and I saw it reading after others who were caught up to heaven. Kenneth Hagin said this, because of any man that I know from the standpoint other than people in the Bible, even with people in the Bible, we don't have a record of any time of any person who was Jesus appeared to more often than Kenneth E. Hagin did. We don't know of any other person. I've never heard anybody writing any things of the numbers of times. He had numbers of times he never talked to people about. Things that would happen were done for this purpose, to bring revelation. Jesus would speak to him. Many times they were revelations that had been lost by the church that past generations knew, but the generations today don't know. And Jesus would bring him back, and Jesus would teach him things from the Bible, teach him things from Scripture, and tell him things. So he would come and give it to us. He would take the Scriptures and give them to us and show us. He would do those things. But he made this statement. He said, you think when you stand before Jesus that there's a lot of things you'd like to ask him? He said, when you stand before him, most of the things that you wanted to ask him, you were thinking in your mind. He said, when you stand before him and you're in the Spirit, you ask things from your spirit. See, most people would ask trivia. Asking from their head. Something that was outside. It's looking on. There's things within your heart that there's a craving to know. You got to hook to that. To what's on the inside to know. People mostly think out of their outside of what they'd like to know about. He said, when I was before Jesus, he said, well, after the things were over, I thought, you know, I didn't ask about such and such. I always wanted to know about that. But he said, really? That was from him to his standpoint out of his own mind. But he said, when you're over in the Spirit, he said, you don't think about those things. He said, you're thinking on spiritual things. Which goes to show that most people aren't thinking spiritual most of the time, because if you ask them what they wanted to know, it'd be something that wasn't really to know spiritually wasn't a big deal. So it's actually what is important, because there's things that we need to get in the inside of us that we need to hook up to know and to understand from the Word of God. So we need to walk in line in line with the Word of God. In Deuteronomy, I want to read Deuteronomy 32:10. It's a scripture. It says he found him, and 32:10 says he found him in the desert land and in the wasteland. The word wasteland is the word tahu. It says a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. But we see here again the terminology of using of this word of a wasteland was the word tahu. This is the way things are when they've been judged again. Now Ezekiel, I want to go over into this because here tonight, we're going pretty long. I wanted to go over in here. We'll just pick up on this next week, because we want to look at, there's some things of Scripture again of Lucifer we want to look at, because there's things of the Scripture that the Lord spoke to me about that I've heard people use many times, and they've used these talking about Lucifer. And the Lord spoke to me about these Scriptures and going over to him, and he told me to go in and start. Again, this is just the way God works with me. He'll show. I'll be reading something. Certain words. He'll go look up what that word means. And so he took me over here, and he started having me going through the Hebrew and its usage of things dealing with Lucifer. And I found out, amazingly, things that are translated wrong, and you can prove it by Scripture, but also most everybody I've ever heard teach it never taught it according to what the Word says. And I'm not, it's not some book. I didn't come up with this myself. Lord told me to go over and study is to look. You know, the Bible says you study to show yourself approved unto God. Most of the time, don't be just some surface reader of the Bible. Don't do that. You're never going to learn too much. Surface readers don't ever go. People just, you know, generally just surface read. There's nothing the matter with generally sitting down and reading the Bible, but you have to have a study life. There's things God will want to teach you and instruct you in, and you need to have a study life where you sit down and study the Bible. And where you sit down and look, you know, is number one, you should be able to have, today, it is so easy with things from, if you have any kind of a computer or anything, you can so easily look up things, you can easily look up words. I mean, you can sit on Google, I can take any Hebrew or Greek word and just type it into Google and they'll come over and all the things. If you can look in translations, as I like to look the things because they bring them up on how the word was used actually in its time period, how the term, it was used in culture, how they used it, what it was used for, not just, you know, because you can look sometimes at something says, they'll give you, you know, a word means this, and they'll just throw one thing on it. But actually, how was it actually used at the time, the culture, in writing, or whatever it is, in language, how they used it. And it really sort of gives you an idea of what the writer was talking about when they wrote these things, when he wrote them down. And so it shows you those things, which are very good because you get a better idea of how words and stuff are said. We'll end up looking, next week we'll start over into Ezekiel to begin look at there about Lucifer and who he was, what he was, and what God created him, and a little bit about him. And then we'll continue going on and doing some teaching concerning that and things as we look into the scriptures about these. There's a few things we want to continue in with these here. About Lucifer, we're going to find out about him. We get a better picture, and we need a better picture about him of what he was and what he did in his fall. There's a lot of things from scriptural standpoint that generally people don't pull out and teach. And I, you know, started going over this, and the Lord started talking to me about some things about him, because we want to get this clear picture. We're dealing with God, and God has a plan. And we mostly, like I said, we see this small part of planet we call our redemption. But our redemption, the redemption of man, is a powerful thing. But the whole thing of it is that really the point of redemption was, it wasn't just about saving man. It's about fixing a problem that existed eons before. And we got to get that in our minds. Because what was God doing? And because when we sit down and we look at these things, God has a plan to fix things, is to set things back in order again. Things got out of order, but God only ever brings things back to order based on the rules of the kingdom. God never breaks the laws or rules of his kingdom ever. When you hear people say God can do anything, usually they're saying it in a way that's not true. God can never violate his word. God has set boundaries on himself. God can't sin. The Bible says so. So people come along and say God can do anything. What do you mean when you say that? Now, the Bible says all things are possible to him that believeth. But we need to understand, Jesus was talking to covenant people within the lines of covenant. He wasn't speaking, God, you know, just make anything happen you want to happen. Well, good luck on that one. Lucifer thought that. That turned out well, didn't it? And this is why the church world has really been very childish when it comes to our God. We've been very children-like, and we have these ideas and make these statements about God, like, oh, he can do anything, as if that's some kind of great statement. And really, that's a very childish statement. Because just to throw that out there in the guidelines of what God does and what he is, that's a far-out statement. Because God doesn't operate that way. He doesn't do things that way. And so we need to understand, if you and I are going to come into the guidelines that God has set and wants us to operate in these last days and get to know Him. And really, that's the power of God works through knowing Him. It's not just finding out some information about the book and learning about this or learning about that. It's really knowing God. It's best to know the author. We haven't taken the Word where the Word really defines Him. You know, His words are life. And there's a life to be had. It's not just meanings of words. It's a life to have. And it reveals to us our God. Our God's phenomenal. He's incredible. And if He set all in motion, when we sit out here and look at this vast universe, and people want to travel out there and go out there, and they don't even know why we're here. They have no clue why we're here. The church doesn't even know why it's here. All they say is, we got this redemption, we're going to heaven one day. And they get to heaven, when they find out, Christians are going to be dumbfounded when they find out how stupid all that they didn't know or could have known. All that could have been revealed to them. But they chose not to learn because they want to stay in this little place. We don't stay there. Study the Word and ask God questions. You got the Holy Spirit in you. He's the one to guide you and lead you into all the truth. He's in you. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. You know? My words, you know, you go to school and people want to ask the teacher questions. Christians live their whole life and never ask a question. Never ask the teacher one question. Never ask a question. And they're trying to grow up. They ain't never growing up. You learn to ask, you talk, you know. We have such a limited prayer life. Our prayer lives are this little tiny corner we call prayer. I spend more time probably asking God things about stuff than I do asking for things. I spend a lot more time talking to Him about what He said He will do. Well, you said you'd do this. Well, you know, what about that? You know, I want to know. And see, we see these things. We see things in Scripture. People have questions. Don't just run and ask somebody else about them. Don't do that. Talk to God and get an answer from Him. It's too easy to run to somebody else. You become lazy doing that. I don't have anybody I can run to all the time. I learned. God taught me over time. I'd go lock myself in the bedroom and get with God and just take my Bible and go in the bedroom and sit down and read my Bible and turn around and talk to God about the Bible. I wanted to know about things. God, what about this? You said this in your Word. I would turn around and find out things from God and then turn around and listen to a tape from Kenneth Hagin. Here he is talking about the same thing. I think, my God, that's what I heard. I heard that same thing. You know, people turn around and say, well, you know, you teach the same things he teaches. Well, if it's from the Bible, it ought to be the same thing. Dear God, if you're teaching salvation and you're teaching it another way, somebody's wrong. Dear God, I mean, people are so stupid. They do stuff. Well, you're just copying off of him. Well, it's the same Bible, you moron. How could it be different? Dear God, Christians are so dumb, it's amazing. I just... You're copying something. We're all copying God. Healing's only one way. I mean, it's just, you know, you sit down and look at it. It's like, people really, you know, they get really weird about stuff. I don't get it. You know, the truth's the truth. And if you know what the truth is, don't be surprised somebody else did. I always like to feel, I'm always good to find God reveals something to me. To me, it's always good when I have somebody else turn around and says, we'll say the same thing. I think, oh, wow, you know, hey, I was hearing, I'm hearing right. I don't know about you, but I need that sometimes. I need to know. It's one of the things I like with Brother Randy because, there's things that the Lord spoke to me years ago about. I had the thing with 1 Kings 18 when the Lord spoke to me about the last day. He said, the last day move of God. He said, I'm going to show you the last day move of God in Lebanon Valley, what it's going to be like. And he said, go over and to read. This was in April 1991. He said, I want you to go over. And he took me into 1 Kings 18 and showed me Elijah the prophet coming out. Told me, and really, it was a type, a pattern, really, that he did them. God's patterns don't ever change. You know, there's things that might change, but his patterns are always the same. And he told me to go over and read that. He said, this is what's going to happen in the last days. And so he explained to me with the different things of the fire falling, what it would be for us in our day and all this kind of things. And he showed him about his desire. The first thing he said he's going to do is turn his people's heart back to him. See, this is where the Christians are trying to get revival going to reach the sinner. That's not first on the list. And I was so glad to hear that because Randy Greer, when I hooked up with Randy Greer, the first thing he said, God's number one agenda ain't reaching the sinner right now. He's trying to get the Christian. He's trying to reach them. And that's his first thing on the agenda, is trying to reach the church. Because if he can reach the church, then he can get the sinner. Because the sinner is the vessel to reach the church. And the church trying to reach the sinner, and then we're trying to reach him without God. We're having this, you know, this nonsense stuff of trying to be like the world and reach the world. But he went on to tell me the different things, and then he talked about the rain will fall and all these different things he said about him. And so here last year, I was down at one of Randy's meetings, and Randy said, the Lord told me about the last day and gave me the pattern for the last day move to God. He goes, go to 1 Kings 18. And I thought, back in 1991, the Lord told me that. And he came out, he preached the identical sermon. It wasn't no different. Well, he preached the exact same thing that God told me. Wow, well, the pattern's the same. It's the Bible. I didn't have a... God told me from the pattern from the Bible, and God showed him the pattern from the Bible. Well, it's going to be the same. So he didn't copy me, because, see, I never knew I said it. But God showed him the pattern, and it was the same pattern he showed me, so it should have came out the same. And it did. It came out the same. Why? Because it was the Bible. And you'll find out that with yourself. Hallelujah. God will reveal things to you. You'll find out it's wonderful for yourself when you find out you learn things and then you find out you're hearing from God. You know, I never wanted somebody else to do all the hearing from God. I didn't want to sit down and listen to some preacher all the time telling about, hey, he heard from God. I wanted to hear it too. Most Christians are satisfied with, and the 90% of Christians are just satisfied with somebody else hearing from God. I feel so sorry for most Christians. I wanted to hear that. But when I got born again, they would talk about how God would move me, do things, show them stuff. Man, I decided, well, if he does that, then I'm going to hook into that. I decided that's, well, you know, why not? See, God ain't just personal to preachers. That's the most people. They just, you know, God's personal to the preacher. Yeah. Man, I know people that ain't preachers, and God's very personal with them. God reveals things to them, but see, it's what you're going to go after, what you're going to do. It's one of the things, I'm a person who, I like to have original thinking. If I sit along with something and I'm not afraid to ask God questions about things, as most Christians are. Most Christians get afraid that if they ask something from God that he might get nervous or he don't want you questioning. But we were really told as growing up in the church is, you know, you don't ask any questions, you know. You don't do that kind of stuff. And that's what the devil always does. The devil wants you to stay dumb and ignorant. And that's what those religious junk does. Keeps you dumb and ignorant. And anything. They had things, if you ask them a question about anything, you know, they didn't want to know. You know, God, they'd run around the good die young. You know, God took somebody out for purpose. You'd find out the sinners are living longer than the saints. Because God's, you know, God's killing all the Christians for some reason. And then he turns around and says, you know, you live good, it'll extend your life. Well, if I live good, he'll kill you according to them. The good die young. No, the just Christians die stupid. That's what it is. It's called stupid because of their dumb ignorance of believing all this stuff. They won't stop and ask a question. See, now as a kid, I'd ask questions. My parents asked me if I wanted to go to heaven, and I said no. Which they almost choked. You don't want to go to heaven. I said, why? All we were told, you know, God was striking people, killing people, doing this, doing that. I said, why would you want to go to heaven? I said, why? I said, if he doesn't treat you nice here, he's not going to treat you nice there either. And they just like were, but they had no answer. Well, sure he's not. If he's not nice here, he's not nice there. He's a God that changes not. God's doing evil here. He's doing evil there. You're going to have it there. God's making people sick here. He's making sick people there. He changes not. God's doing stuff. He changes not. He don't change. And you got to get over that in your mind. Most people, you know, they have a false God. You know? To me, as I got older, I used to think God was schizophrenic. I thought he was schizophrenic, you know, and because, you know, sometimes he's nice and then he gets real weird and he does all this terrible stuff. And so, you know, this is what you're going to put up with. You know, and then you would get some dumb Christian would come along and say somebody would kill somebody. Say somebody would come along and kill a Christian person, he'd say, well, God had a reason for that to happen. And I'd ask her, I'd say, well, let me ask you this then. Why are we locking that guy up? He did the will of God, killing that person for God. Shouldn't we be cheering him on? Get him another gun? Maybe he can do some more work for the Lord. You know, you never know. God had a purpose. No, Jesus said, the thief comes but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. I come that you might have life. And have it a little bit. He said, more abundantly. That's why I came. See, it's getting over into things. You got to question things. You got to stop and say, you know, when stealing, killing, destroying are going on, Christians just never stop. They don't stop and say, why is this going on? Why is this happening? What's going on that's allowing this? It ain't God. But we don't go to God and say, God, what's up? Why is this going on? What's happening here that we're not seeing, that we're not stopping? What is it? We don't. We just keep going on with our stuff. We just keep walking on. Don't pay no attention to it. The curse don't come without a cause. The church never finds out cause. They just keep bypassing, keep saying and making their confessions, well, it don't work. If you don't deal with cause. You can put all the gas you want in the car, and if the engine don't work because, you know, some other problem, you can put all the gas you want in it and turn it over as many times as you want. You ain't driving nowhere. You find out the cause. Making confessions and nothing ever changing, there's a cause. You got to find the cause. Why ain't it working? Why doesn't it? See, we don't ask questions. We just keep having our nice little, you know, religious laws and rules. You know, I'm making the right confession. I'm believing the right thing. Yeah. Well, then that should bring change. Why doesn't it bring change? Why doesn't it change? We have to stop. Is there something going on that's causing this to happen? If the cause isn't stopped, you can make all the confession you want. You're going to still having the results of the cause. People don't stop. People don't quit. They don't stop, ask questions. They don't pray and ask God. I don't want to get into unbelief. Sorry if it ain't working, you're already there. Let's get over there and find out what's wrong with this thing. You ain't going to ever learn nothing. You ask a question. I've asked the Lord many times. I stop and say, Lord, this thing isn't moving the way it should move. What's going on? What don't I know? Oh, that'd be a horrible thing for you to think you didn't know something. Us geniuses, you know, we just so smart. Say, what is it I don't know that just don't change? I know from your word you want it to change, so I know you do. But it ain't changing. What's going on here? What's happening? Why isn't it working? I found out many times. Many times I've asked the Lord why some people, God will tell me, but you know what? They never ask God, never find out. And I know exactly why it ain't working for them. But I don't tell them. I'll never tell a person unless God tells me to tell a person. I'll never tell them. You don't do that. They need to find out. You go around and keep telling people, I'll tell you what, they'll get mad at you as a hornet because might embarrass them. You tell them, you know, hey, you got to get straighten this out. If you don't straighten that out, they don't want to hear that. They'd have been asking the questions to God about what's going on if they really wanted to know. Believe me, there's loads of them out there with rocks. You find it out. You think people really want to know? They don't. Lots of times people don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want it said to them what's wrong. They don't want it said to them. Now just keep telling me to keep confessing, it'll be all right, and 20 years later it still ain't changed, ain't turned. But you still can't tell them. They need to stop for themselves and say, what's wrong? What do I need to change? See, we need to find out these things, asking questions. That's one of the greatest ways you're going to ever learn. Is finding out that you don't know, you're not as bright as you think you are. God is a lot smarter. And if you find out what He knows, and see what He knows, you'll humble yourself to His wisdom more often than keep walking in your wisdom. And that's what you want to do. You want to, there never comes a time when you don't need his wisdom, that you're smart without him. I always thought of Kenneth Hagin when he prayed, and he'd hear him all the time say, "Lord, we're standing on the word of this, but if you want me to do something else, you let me know. I'll do whatever you want me to do with it. You just let me know." He'd always humble himself to God. You can speak in this thing if you want to. You have a choice. This ain't about just my voice. You have something you want to say. You go ahead and speak. Lord, what you want, we'll go along with what you want. What you want to do. See, we got to come over and humble to that. That's why it's to know God. See, I realized, listen to him, he knew God on a level I didn't. He was humbled to God. You can tell when people are in that adolescent stage of Christianity. They have an arrogance about them. They think they're smart. I know, I'm bright, I'm smart. They don't realize how much they need God. And the more you grow, the more you realize how much you need him. That it don't work without him. He's God, you're not. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Thank you for being so good and kind to us. You've surely been so patient. Father, there's a lot we need to understand about you in this last day and hour, because, Lord God, there's things that we need to enter into. Lord God, that we don't know, and without knowing these things, we're not going to be able to carry things as far as you'd like. Lord, when the prophet Kenneth Hagin left this earth, he said this: there's things that I know that I've never taught because people weren't ready to receive it. Lord God, I believe in this day and hour, you're desiring to bring to the knowledge of people those things. And Father God, forgive us for not maturing like we should have and developing like we should have, so you could show us things. But Lord God, we set ourselves and humble ourselves under the great Holy Spirit, the teacher, to know and to understand and to comprehend. And Holy Spirit, we set ourselves to seek, because your word says seek and we would find. So we're going to begin to seek. And in seeking, we will find. In knocking, it will be opened unto us. Forgive us for not seeking, for not knocking. For Lord God, just sitting and waiting for you to do. Lord God, we haven't been good students. And Lord God, we set ourselves to be good students. Hallelujah. Lord God, you've given us the mind of Christ. Surely we have a good mind to ask questions that are relevant to your kingdom. And Holy Spirit, we know that you desire to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to us. And Jesus Christ is the eternal one. He always was, he always is, and always will be. And we want to know him as being the eternal being who sits on the throne, and we're seated together with him. And that mind that we have is tied to eternity, not just to this earth. It's tied to eternity. There's revelation tied to eternity that we need to understand and know about our wonderful Father and his plans to carry out in this earth, and his plans, because his plans are greater than the plans of men. His ideas are greater. The glory is much greater, and we desire to hook into that glory and to walk in that glory and to reveal that glory into the earth in these last days, so we can fulfill, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, that we carry out into perfection. Hallelujah. So our God can reveal the glory of the future to us that has been prepared before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in it. And we thank you, Lord God. We're not going to be disappointed. Hallelujah. You will reveal these things to us and show them to us. And we give you the glory and the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.